This is week two of our series, Too Much, Living with Less in the Land of More. We certainly live in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and we learn that in the land of more, many of us get ourselves into trouble because we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even know. And last week, I introduced to you the passage from Matthew chapter 6, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Our heart follows our money. Last week, I gave you a challenge to spy on your money and find out where it goes. I don't know how many of you followed through on that. I had a little bit of an anomaly this week. My car needed brakes. So that was kind of necessary, not only for me, but I want to keep all of you safe too in a car that is able to stop. But Jesus talked a lot more about money than he did even heaven or hell, because money gives an indicator of where our heart is. So in the land of more, we talked last week about a simple formula we're going to follow for improving your spiritual and financial health, consisting of four principles. We talked last week about gratitude. This week we're going to talk about contentment. Next week we'll talk about trust, and finally, humility. In our message last week on gratitude, I want to remind you the great reformer Martin Luther said this: there's actually three conversions when you come to Christ: the heart, the mind, and the purse. And for many people, that usually comes last, because God's got to change your heart to help you understand this attitude of gratitude that we need to have. We learn this attitude of gratitude begins with acknowledging the simple truth that God owns and controls everything he created, and that he's the source for everything that we have, and we must respond in a way that honors him. This week we want to talk about the subject of contentment, and I wonder if perhaps you have seen this commercial.
No.
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I'd bidda-bidda-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan? If I were a wealthy man.
So here's a guy walking into work, and he sees a guy that drives a better car than he does, has a better office than he does, and he's wondering, man, how can I get that? And of course, the answer is, don't get mad, get E-Trade. Well, there was a man named J. Walker Smith, who's the chief knowledge officer of brand and marketing at the Kantar Consulting Company, and he said something we all need to pay attention to. He said, it's a nonstop blitz of advertising messages. Everywhere we turn, we're saturated with advertising messages trying to get our attention. We've gone from being exposed to about 500 ads a day in the 1970s to as many as 5,000 ads today. And that's not even counting election season, you know? And so we have a culture that is bent on selling us stuff. Every commercial that you see or hear has one goal: to make you discontent with your life as it is. The promise of every advertiser is that if you only had this product or this service, then your life would be, and I'll let you fill in the blank, happy, fulfilled, whatever it is they think you're looking for. Well, we're going to talk about a man today who had an opportunity to live a very opulent lifestyle. I don't know that he ever had pizzas delivered in a helicopter like we saw in the commercial, but he could have done it if helicopters were around in that day. We're going to talk about a man who was a king of Israel. His name was Solomon, and Solomon became one of the wealthiest men in the world. We can read about him in 1 Kings chapter 10 through the first part of 11. I'm going to put this on the screen instead of reading it. I just want you to see some of what the Bible tells us. It says he had an annual income of 25 tons of gold. In terms of money today, that would be about $2 billion every year. He had hundreds of shields made of gold hanging in his palace. These weren't functional shields to be used in battle. These were just decorations for the palace. He had a great throne made of gold and ivory. He had a large military force consisting of 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. And then he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. Solomon became richer than any other king on earth, the scripture says. Near the end of his life, King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He looked back on his life and he reached this conclusion. Meaningless! Meaningless! Everything is meaningless. And you know, you gotta wonder, why would Solomon reach such a conclusion? And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that the reason was that he had too much. He tried wisdom, we're told, in the opening chapter of Ecclesiastes, but it wasn't enough. He tried wine, and that didn't help. He tried finding fulfillment through his work, but that failed too. He amassed great wealth, as we just seen, but it was never enough. He had a harem of women, but he was still unsatisfied. He writes in chapter 2, verse 10, I denied myself no pleasure. He says, as I looked at everything I had accumulated and accomplished, it was all so meaningless, like chasing after the wind. A few years ago, I got to go with some friends up to see Mount Rushmore, and we went during the season when the wheat fields were full and high. And as you drove past, you could just see the wind rustling through the wheat. The wheat told you the wind was there. But if you tried to chase the wind, you'd never be able to catch it. And even if you could get near it, there's no way you could hold it. And that's what Solomon says was the vanity of chasing wealth and accomplishments. The very things our culture says that we ought to do. So we want to see a little bit more specifically about what Solomon said. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, it's on page 539. We'll be looking at verses 10 to 17, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting in verse 10. This comes from the man who was the wealthiest man in the world. Listen to what he says. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. There is another serious problem I've seen under the sun. Hoarding riches harms the saver. Money is put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything's lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all have come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like working for the wind. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. And as you know, there's a lot of division in our nation, particularly with this looming election. And some of it is because people aren't getting what they want. They're not prospering the way they want. And the richest man in the world says it's like chasing after the wind. He says that loving money isn't any good. He says, if you love money, you'll never have enough. He says, more money won't really bring true happiness, and he ought to know, right? He said, having too much money keeps you from getting a good night's sleep because you're concerned about your stuff. Then he says the interesting thing, hoarding wealth actually harms the one doing the hoarding. And then he said, lovers of money are usually frustrated, discouraged, and angry. When he said, you can't take it with you, you'll never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Can't take it with you. Let's pick it back up in chapter 5, verse 18. Even so, I've noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat and drink and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. It is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. So we learned last week that everything we have is a gift from God. And here, Solomon says, you should enjoy your work. You should enjoy your life. You should also accept your lot in life. What is he telling us? We need to learn the biblical principle of contentment. Contentment is the state of being satisfied with what one is or has. Contentment is being mentally or emotionally fulfilled with things as they are. It's a willingness to accept your circumstances. Now, you might be familiar with this verse from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In the fall season, when there's a lot of college and NFL football, I hear this a lot when they are interviewing star players at the end of the game. And for those that want to give a testimony to Christ, they use this. Yeah, I made some good plays today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that is not the context in which Paul wrote this verse. I want to back up and let's see what Paul was truly talking about. If we go back to verse 10, he says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be what? Content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what Paul was talking about. Whether he had plenty or he had nothing, he trusted that the Lord was going to take care of him, so he became content. Even though he was a traveling missionary and a tent maker by trade, he wasn't so consumed with his business venture that it got in the way of his first love of following Jesus. So he learned this secret of being content. Now, Paul also chimed in on some of these things that Solomon talked about too. We can read them as he's writing to the young preacher in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. He says, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can take nothing with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Notice, Paul did not say money is the root of all evil. He said the love of money. So Paul again is echoing some of these writings from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes that he reached the same conclusions that Solomon did. In our culture, one of the greatest sorrows was detailed in the book, The ABCs of Financial Freedom, and Barry Cameron says one of the worst things that many Americans do is get themselves into debt. Again, that goes back to buying things that we don't need to impress people we don't know with money we don't have. Where do we get the money? We borrow it. And many people live with a load of debt. And Barry Cameron says we need to rethink what that word debt means, and he has a couple of suggestions. One of them, he says, debt means dumb explanation for buying things. That's what debt is. Another one that I kind of like, don't even buy that. And in fact, if you're familiar with Dave Ramsey and the Financial Peace University, he teaches about how to get out of debt and how to live a life in which you can be responsible and even generous with the things that God has given you. Jesus told a story about a man who was a lot like Solomon. He was a rich young ruler, but he wanted to know, how do I get to heaven? In Mark chapter 10, verses 21 to 23, Jesus said, you may have followed all the law, but there's one more thing that you need to do. Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away very sad, for he had many possessions. Does Jesus demand this of every follower, that you sell everything you have and give it away? I don't think that's what he's teaching here. But what he is teaching here is having an understanding that all that we have belongs to God, not to us. And he saw this man's stuff was getting in his way of following Jesus. So he challenged him. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because they have so much stuff. And your heart follows your stuff. So this morning I want to ask, what about you? Where is your treasure? What is the focus of your time, your attention, and your resources? Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's kind of if Jesus is saying, look, I know your heart's going to follow your stuff, and I just don't want to compete with that. I want your heart, and since your heart tends to follow your stuff, then I want you to surrender all your stuff to me. I don't really want your money, and I don't really want your stuff. In fact, I don't really need anything you have. All I want is your heart. And that's why we need to develop not only this attitude of gratitude for what God has given us, but also this attitude of contentment. The problem is not when you have money. The problem is when your money has you. Jesus told another parable about a man who had amassed great wealth. And in Luke 12, 16 to 21, he tells this story this way. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops, and he said, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he says, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship to God. So I ask you this question this morning, where is your heart? Is your heart set on earthly things, in accumulating things the world says is important? Or are you focused on building this rich relationship with God, keeping a loose grip on this stuff? If you listen to Christian radio, you may be familiar with a guy named Toby Mac. Toby Mac used to sing with a group called DC Talk. It stood for Decent Christian Talk. They wrote a song when DC Talk was together that I'd like for you to hear today. It's likely not in the genre of music most of you listen to, but I want you to check out the lyrics these young men wrote in this song called Things of This World. We'll be right back.
20 years, you're off of school. Learning principles and learning the tools to make lots of money, the ultimate goal. Gain the whole world and yet lose your soul, huh? Humanism is on a roll. 20 gets the knowledge, 30 years to apply, and just 20 years left for asking why. I didn't realize what it was all about, and was there any use in this rigorous route? Because
things of this world are passing away. Here tomorrow, but they're sure not here to stay. Things of this world are passing away. So lay your treasure above and start to live for him today.
All done for self in this world will pass, and all done for Christ in this world will last. Sounds like a simple task. Every day of life seems to get in the way. No time to serve, barely time to pray. Our focal point's lost, and we get tossed in the wind. Cold facing the cost of falling without stalling or even calling the Lord. Well, you were blackballing, he was waiting for you to see the light and find for yourself these things are trite.
Things of this world are passing away. Sure not here to stay. Things of this world are passing away. So lay your treasure above and start to live for him today.
Simple process that we call greed. You say you like to have money, well I do too. The problem starts when the money has you working overtime to keep up with the pace. A lifestyle that you wanna embrace, but it's two steps from where your needs are met. You're keeping up with the Joneses, but you're all in debt, which will lead to stress, not meeting the bills, while you're sporting a band with all the thrills. The domino effects got your life in check. A temporary sitch and you're living a wreck.
Things of this world are passing away. Here tomorrow, but they're sure not here to stay. Things of this world are passing away. So lay your treasure above and start to live for him today. Things of this world are passing away.
This leads me to is my challenge for you today. Last week, I asked you to spy on your money because I wanted you to see where your money goes, because Jesus says that's where your heart will also go. This week, I want to challenge you to examine the way your money is leading your heart. And I want you to spend some time, maybe in solitude and prayer with the Lord, and taking an honest look at your life and asking yourself this question: in what ways do I need to learn to be content? Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you so much for these writings from Solomon. And Lord, while many of us would like to give the things a try that he did, we don't have the resources and we don't have the time. But we were reading in Adult Bible Fellowship this morning out of 1 Corinthians 10, and it says, the things that happened in the Old Testament happened as examples for us, and they're warnings for us who live in the last age. And I pray that even though we might not have the income and all the possessions that Solomon has, that we can learn from what he said. And even though he tried all of these things, he learned that the pursuit of wealth and fame and power and all the things that go with it is meaningless. It's like chasing after the wind. You will never be satisfied. Lord, help us come to the understanding that the only thing that brings satisfaction in our lives is a right relationship with you. We thank you so much that you sent your one and only Son, your very best, to secure our salvation when Jesus came and he died on the cross to pay the ransom price for our sins. We are redeemed by his blood, and we live our lives now with hearts of gratitude for all that you've given to us. But Lord, it is so hard in our culture today to be content. These advertisements just assail us so many times a day, trying to make us discontent. Father, help us to shut out that noise and help us to focus on a relationship where we are content with who you made us to be, and help us follow Jesus in such a way that it shows our gratitude and our contentment for those of us who live here in the land of more. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
How can I build your kingdom if I'm building my own? How can you be my treasure if I'm digging for gold? How can you be my fire if my heart has grown cold? How can you be my future if I made this my home? How can I?